This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's talk about the tightrope that no one ever wants to walk. The one between truth and the world's perception of it. Because that's where David, D4VD, is right now. Not on trial, not officially accused, but standing in the exact spot where silence and speculation collide. A teenage girl, Celeste Rivas Hernandez, was found dead in a Tesla registered in his name. Kind of a big deal. The story alone is enough to light the match. Young artist, rising fast, dark lyrics, a body mystery, and now complete silence. It's a perfect storm for the internet. And that silence, it's the center of gravity. Everyone drawn to it, everyone interpreting it, and everyone thinks they know what it means. But here's the truth. They don't. We don't. No one does. But there's a difference between legal silence and moral silence. And right now, the world's acting like they're the same thing. Let's get the obvious part out of the way. Legally, staying silent is probably the smartest thing David can possibly do. A body found in your car? That's automatic proximity to a potential crime. You are instantly inside the investigative blast radius, whether you did anything or not. Anything you say can be twisted, clipped, misunderstood, or reinterpreted by detectives, prosecutors, and, of course, the public. Even the most innocent sentence can get turned into inconsistency. So you lawyer up, you stop talking, you let your legal team handle everything. That's what any rational attorney would advise. Because right now, it's not about winning the internet. It's about not losing your freedom. But the internet does not understand that. TikTok doesn't understand that. Because online silence doesn't look smart, it looks guilty. People equate no comment with, I'm hiding something. And when you combine that silence with art that's built on heartbreak, death, and emotional violence, the optics kind of turn radioactive. This is the impossible paradox that David is in right now. The very silence that might save you in court can destroy you everywhere else. We are living in an era where transparency has become a kind of currency. If you don't post, if you don't react, if you don't perform, empathy on command, you are suspect. The audience has been trained to expect instant access to the inner lives of the people they follow. And when you suddenly stop speaking, they assume something dark filled the silence. It's Mad Libs, basically. That's the pressure cooker David is in. And it's not of his own making. If the byproduct of how we're built, of how we've built this entire ecosystem, where artists aren't just musicians anymore, they're characters in their ongoing documentary, which really is how we look at celebrity now. It's not just great music. I don't know much about them. No, when you're cataloging your life online all the time, every day, and suddenly you go silent, you are basically in an ongoing docu-series of your life. That is how the public will perceive it. And when it gets cut off, what's going on? You're so open. You're so honest. You're so everything. And now what? It, boo? We used to let the process breathe. Now every hour without an update feels like withholding. The public doesn't wait for facts. They crowdsource them. And that's why silence feels so combustible, because when no one fills in the blanks, people will do it for you. From a PR standpoint, it's easy to say, he should have spoken. Maybe a brief statement, I'm aware of what's being reported. I'm heartbroken for everyone involved. I'm cooperating fully. Something that acknowledges reality without compromising legal safety. That's what crisis managers dream of, a clean sentence that humanizes, controls optics, and stops the bleeding. And maybe he should have done that. Maybe that window has closed, though. But that's fantasy when you're inside the storm. When lawyers are saying don't even breathe in public, when every syllable can become Exhibit A, when you're not managing perception, you're fighting for survival. So you go silent, because silence is the only thing you can control. And that's the trap. Because while silence protects you legally, it's building a mythology around you publicly. It's the tightrope between safety and surrender, and it's impossible to walk perfectly. If you speak, you might fuel the fire. If you don't, the fire grows anyway. If you show emotion, it's performative. If you don't, it's sociopathic. There's no right move. There's only risk. And I think that's the part people miss. That's the sign that the silence doesn't necessarily come from arrogance or guilt. It comes from fear. Fear of missteps, fear of misinterpretation, fear that the truth won't matter if the optics get there first. Because that's what modern crisis really is. It's not truth versus lies anymore. It's truth versus perception. In the world of PR, perception wins first. Truth tries to catch up later. And that's what's happening here. You have an artist whose name is tied to tragedy, a legal team that knows one stray word can destroy him, and an audience that refuses to accept silence as innocence. It's a no-win equation. Every crisis consultant on earth knows it. Control the narrative or it controls you. But what happens when controlling it could destroy you in court? That's where the legal team and the PR team crash into each other, because they don't have the same job. Lawyers protect your rights, PR protects your reputation, and sometimes they're mutually exclusive. From a legal lens, silence is brilliant. From a PR lens, it is disastrous. That's the real story here. The tension between what's right legally and what looks right publicly. When David's manager released that short statement asking people to use facts, it was a small attempt to cool the speculation. But facts don't trend. Emotion does. Mystery does. And right now, mystery is the only thing he's feeling, even if unintentionally. It's not wrong that he's quiet. It's just impossible that his quiet won't be misread. And that's what makes this such a fascinating and tragic moment, because there's no malice in his silence. It's a product of a system that no longer gives people the option to wait for clarity. We used to say innocent until proven guilty. Now it's explain yourself immediately or we'll assume you are. And that's where David is living, in the gap between what's safe and what's sustainable. If he speaks, his lawyers will panic. If he stays quiet, the public will turn. If he demands himself or defends himself too passionately, it looks manipulative. If he says nothing, it looks cold. And maybe, just maybe, he knows that. Maybe he's choosing to let the noise play itself out, because every word he could say right now would sound like strategy, not sincerity. That's the cruelty of fame in a tragedy like this. You can't just be human. You have to perform humanity. We've turned empathy into a litmus test for guilt. And for someone standing that close to a death investigation, there's no safe way to pass it. So yes, his silence might be the right move. It might even be the only move, but it's also one that comes with a cost, because the longer he stays quiet, the harder it will be to reclaim his narrative when he finally does speak. That's not guilt. That's gravity. That's the way information behaves now. And what makes this moment so tragic, so modern, is that everyone thinks they'd handle it differently. But the truth is, no one knows what they'd do if their world suddenly turned your art into evidence and your silence into confession. I don't know if he's guilty. I don't know if he has anything to do with this. Neither do you. But like I said, no one knows what they'd do if the world suddenly turned your art into evidence and your silence into confession. And maybe that's what we're really watching. Not a guilty man hiding, but a terrified one freezing. A young artist realizing that no matter what he says, it will never sound right. That silence might be his last bit of control in a story that's already out of his hands. That is the tightrope. And the terrifying thing about tightropes is that even if you walk them perfectly, everyone's still waiting for the fall. Give me your thoughts in the comment section. Should he have said something by now? Should he have released some sort of statement like we talked about? Just, this is tragic, this is horrible, my heart, you know, or not. I know every attorney's going to say, shut the F up. Which is exactly what he's doing. And there's so many people, celebrities or not, that don't take that advice. And I can't think of many times where it works out well. It is rare. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you'll find us right there. Make that same search wherever you're getting podcasts. And while you're at it, please hit subscribe. So you don't miss our commentaries, our interviews, and all the stuff we cover for you here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for watching. We will talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.